The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up, Marine Corps F-18 Top Gun fighter pilot Ed Rush helps us forge a deeper connection with God.
That's the way that I could describe this is when I was in the military, I did not go on a flight without talking to the intelligence officer. They would give us an intel brief every single time I would fly. They'd tell us where the enemy was, where the targets were, where the mission were, any threats that were there, any surface-to-air missiles in the area. And my view is when I was talking to God, I was receiving my daily intelligence briefing.
Betty and I are with some of the most important people in our lives, you, the viewer, those of you who love to put God's arms around the overlooked. Thank you for loving us. You know, you probably helped keep us together for 62 years in a meaningful marriage, a joyful marriage. All of you, you haven't been praying for us that long. Most of you are not even close to anywhere close to as old as we are, and certainly not that old. The deal is that you've blessed us and you've blessed so many people. But we've got an armed service member here. We've got someone who did two swings in Iraq, and he's a Marine pilot, F-18 fighter pilot, and his name is Ed Rush. And I'm telling you what, when I look down at this title of his book, How to Have a Friendship with God, even if you've made a million mistakes, he'll talk to you. Ed, I want to shake your hand.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for serving. And I got to ask you, when you went as a Marine pilot to the very unstable situation in Iraq, did you feel, I know there was nervousness, I know there was concern, but did you feel that you were going there on a mission to protect freedom, to protect people that were worthy and needed to be protected because there was an enemy trying to destroy them? Did you feel that you were doing something like that?
So I was in Iraq in 2004 and 2005, two short trips there as a F-18 pilot. First of all, I felt like we were doing a great thing over there. I really was committed to the mission that we had on there. I'll never forget the first night that I took off on the runway. It was Al Asad Air Base, way out west of Fallujah in Iraq. I got on the runway, put my throttles into afterburner. You take off in the F-18 in combat. You're fully loaded, 50,000-pound airplane. You take off, you literally stay about 10 feet off the ground. You keep the throttles in afterburner because you're trying to avoid getting hit by surface-to-air missiles and not climb out so fast. Take the throttles fully into afterburner, stay about 5 feet above the runway till we get to about 500 miles an hour, and then literally you pull the nose directly up, and you fly vertically to about 10,000 feet while looking over your shoulder to see if you're getting shot at. It was the most terrified I've ever been in my life. And about a month later, I was on the same runway, taking off again, still pulled afterburner, still pulled directly into the vertical, and it had been so routine, I thought this is actually when I was more dangerous. And I actually learned a lesson that night about vigilance, and it's something we'll talk about during the time that we're here. We're called as believers, today's the day to be vigilant. I know sometimes we feel like we've been at this before and been complacent. And as we talk about hearing from God, I want to shake something new and put you back on that runway again for the very first time in that conversation with God.
Okay. Now, you felt you were serving freedom, serving us. How do you think we should feel toward our armed service members, toward our law enforcement officers? How should we feel about them?
It's a wonderful question. So when I came back from my tour from Iraq, when I landed in Los Angeles Airport for the very first time, came through customs, first person met me and said, thank you for your service. First person. And I said, thank you for the gas, because I was thankful that they paid for their taxes to cover my... But I will just tell you, that was not the case in the 60s and 70s for the warfighters who were coming back from Vietnam. And I will tell you, I had people who disagreed with what we were doing in Iraq who still said, thank you for your service. I really honor that, what we do here in America for our service members. And I'll also say, you know, people's opinions change over time. I look back at what we did there, and I think a little differently, actually, now than I did at the time. And it's okay as long as we're supporting our warfighters like that.
Okay. I want to ask you this question because you had some experiences that led you to the greatest, most important part of your life. You have a successful business, but you've brought everything that you've learned about God talking, and it's possible to hear God. Is that right?
100%.
Okay. You can actually hear it. Okay. Now then, I want to know what it was that kind of moved you up to realize that this is very important and I've got to keep perhaps the main focus of my life on this particular calling of God on my life?
So I'll set the context by telling you that 14 years ago, I was what you would call a cessationist. I did not believe that. I was a believer. I loved my Bible. I believed in the Holy Trinity, you know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Bible. I was very diligent about that, but I didn't believe that God spoke. And I didn't believe in any of the gifts, actually. And all of a sudden...
Did you think they'd gone away?
I did. That was my belief system.
You were a cessationist. You believed it'd gone.
And I was sincere about that. I was just sincerely wrong, you know? And so one day, I started having a conversation with God. I took it to my pastor at the time. We were sitting over a Starbucks cup of coffee like this. He said to me, "You shouldn't do that. It could get hokey." And by the way, just so you know, he was right about the second part. It does kind of some God.
He wasn't talking about the coffee.
He was talking about God.
You were talking about.
So it can get a little hokey. God likes to play around with you sometimes, but he was wrong telling me, obviously, not to do that. I actually started cultivating that as a part of my life, but I wasn't telling anyone. In fact, I didn't even tell my family for a long time. I was having these intimate conversations with God where I was asking him questions about my life, about my family. I was asking him about money. I was asking about my business. And he was giving me downloads. Literally, he would show me business deals and structures. I'm a teacher, a speaker, write books for a living. I do events. And so he's showing me, here's how you structure your business. Here are the kind of deals that you should do. Here's the kind of pricing. I was literally receiving that in downloads from heaven.
Did you know it was him?
I did. I knew. I was training and I was learning how to discern and hear God's voice from my voice or from other people's
voice.
Okay,
what made you want to learn that you could do that when you believed it had all passed away, that kind of hokey stuff, as the pastor was trying to tell you it was, that all this stuff's gone? What made you decide to actually give that consideration?
I'll tell you the best way that I could describe this is when I was in the military, I did not go on a flight without talking to the intelligence officer. They would give us an intel brief every single time I would fly. They'd tell us where the enemy was, where the targets were, where the mission were, any threats that were there, any surface to air missiles in the area. And my view is when I was talking to God, I was receiving my daily intelligence briefing.
God, you see, that is really a great way to look at it militarily. Yeah. I mean, he's giving you information you needed to know. How long did it take you to realize it was, in fact, God?
So I always tell, so people ask me this all the time. I've literally taught tens of thousands of people how to hear the voice of God. The number one question I get, by the way, is how do I know it's him? Yeah. How do I know it's him? Just, you know, I get that question from brand new people. I've heard that from atheists who I've taught how to hear from God. I've had that question from some of the most experienced people with God in the world. I think everyone is asking that question.
Probably great preachers and pastors.
I mean, I think it's a common question because, you know, we're human and we are not God. We are spirit, of course, body and soul. But I always tell people, first of all, everything I did in the military, back to the military, came with training. First time I took off at an airplane, I almost threw up. My first landing, I almost killed myself. And my instructor, you may have experienced the same thing. Like when you first learn to do something, it's a little clunky, but after a while, you're pulling 7 Gs, you're flying vertically, you're fighting against a MiG-29 like I did, you're winning against a MiG-29. There's a lot of things that happen with training, and talking to God is just like that. It's a practice. It's something that you just get better at. And I always tell people, like, if you're not sure if it's God, we'll get together with 2 or 3 people, share notes. Sometimes you'll find some commonalities, and when you kind of fly together in formation, you end up finding better answers as well. So
see,
just practice.
I try to teach people that they can hear God, and I'll give them some suggestions when they'll just ask in passing. I'm not doing instruction like you are. But I'll say, write things down you believe is God. Just write it down. You believe that was him saying it. And you may have been asking, or it may have just come to me. You wonder, was that him? And then discuss it with some people. Is that a good idea? Is it good to write it down? And then is it good to pass over that by somebody and see, does this sound like God?
So to put it into context, I never flew into combat alone, not once. In fact, as an F-18 pilot, you always have a wingman, always. He's there to make sure that you don't kill yourself, that somebody else doesn't try to kill you, that you're flying in the right place, that you mutually support each other. Unlike Top Gun, you're not right next to each other. You're 3 miles apart looking to make sure that the enemy's not shooting at you. And when you're a believer walking with God, that fundamental principle works perfectly. 2 or 3 people getting together. This is the reason why we build whole communities around the message of this book, so that people can begin sharing the kind of things that they're hearing. Because sometimes God will drop something on you that's too big, sometimes even to believe it. When you bring it to your friends, they can, oh, come on, you can do that. You get that mutual encouragement and sometimes a little correction, too.
You know, I tell people that I think it's important to know the nature of God by knowing the Word of God. And if you're a stranger to His Word, you will be a stranger to His nature. And I think you would certainly agree with that. Yeah. Do you think it's really important for people to be sure that they know the Word and know His nature, because that makes it so much clearer to know it's Him?
100% central. And so in the book, for example, the first few chapters, much different. There's a lot of books that talk about hearing from God. One of the main differences in God Talks is the first few chapters that talk about how the brain works and the neurology with recoding and retraining your mind. This is why this is so important. God describes His voice as a still, small voice. God, if you will, has a frequency, a carrier frequency that He communicates on. If you're staring at your social media platforms for 4 hours, if you're reading Twitter for four hours, you're not in the zone that you can typically hear God. By the way, He's speaking all the time. So your job to tune into His frequency, not the other way around. And I always tell people, like, God's carrier frequency, the way He communicates, the love, the kindness, the compassion, is in His Word. So if you want to get better at hearing God, read God's Word, because you're tuning yourself, if you will, to God's radio station or His frequency.
Well, you know, growing up, quote, as a Baptist, as I did, and going to church, being faithful all the time, but I didn't really have that personal relationship with Jesus, but I was doing all the right things. But I didn't think I was qualified to have that kind of relationship with God. I thought it was for ministers and everybody else. But through meeting Him and our God meshing our lives together and us growing together, I found out that God wants to talk to me if I make myself available to Him. It would just be like my children. I want to talk to my children.
Yeah.
I want to communicate with them. Well, God feels that way too. So I think if we tune ourselves to His voice and know, and we learn to discern which is God's voice, it makes a big, big difference.
It's amazing. And how you just described that. So because we've done this with so many people, big groups, small groups, live Zoom trainings, big events, small events, I will have people often write down and then submit what the answers they get. And I will just tell you, 60 to 70% of the lies that people believe when you ask God, the book takes you through these seven exercises. When you ask God, for example, what lies do I believe about me? What lies do I believe about you? What lies do I believe about my past? 60 to 70% of the answers are the same. I'll give you an example. In the book, there's an exercise about money. When someone asks, what lies do I believe about money? 60% of the answers are, I'm not worthy. These are good, godly people that love God, been walking with Him their whole life, and they have an embedded belief system that's trained into their neurology that says, I'm not worthy.
Not worthy to hear Him?
Not worthy to hear Him, not worthy to receive God's blessing, not worthy to be blessed to be a blessing. And what's crazy is, so the enemy doesn't, they just copy the same strategy over and over and over again. But we're starting to unfold what the enemy's been whispering into people's eyes. And that's actually one of them. You're not worthy. So you're not that famous person who's on TV. You're just a regular person. But you would be amazed. Last week, we had a 75-year-old Southern Baptist woman who never believed that God spoke to her. And 5 minutes later, she's weeping as God brought her into an encounter. And after that, she said, I guess God does speak to Southern Baptists after all. You never know.
You know, you tell, because I heard people talking about it, a story about an atheist that really made a very deep impression on you.
So once God got me out of my comfort zone and started having me teach this message, I was doing at the time business events, and the business events, I had everybody, all walks of life. I had Christians that came, but I had atheists and Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims and skeptics and people pretending to believe something that they didn't. I have everybody, because I'm happy to have everyone come and we can all have the conversation. And they were business events. They were not God events. They were business events. But I always did these optional sessions where if anyone wanted to come and learn how to ask God questions about their business, they could come to the optional session. So I'd have 250 people at an event, and 249 people would come to the optional session, you know, the next morning. And one of the women was an atheist, and she walked in the room late. As she walked in the room, I said, the first question I want you to ask God is, what lies do you believe about you? And in that moment, she's standing at the door. She told me later she was ready to just walk out the door. But she didn't. She decided she was going to sit down. I don't mention this in the book, but she said, I thought I would just ask my subconscious a question instead of asking God a question. Well, little did she know that her encounter with God was just moments away. And she sat down and she asked God the first question. And she said, what lies do I believe about me? And He said, you're believing that you're ugly and that I hate you. And in that moment, He transports her mentally back to when she was 5 years old. From age 5 to age 17, she was sexually abused by her dad. And in that moment, it's a, a software program ran in her mind that she's ugly and that God was done with her. Oh. Now, just so you know, she's an atheist taking notes from God. And I get it. I understand why an atheist who has such a horrible earthly father would not believe in a heavenly one. I get it. Like, I have compassion for that. There's no judgment in my heart for that. I understand why she had that belief system. And by the way, she's doing the exercise. She's in her 60s. She hasn't told this story to anyone. Then she asks God what's true. And he says, "You're beautiful. I've always loved you. And I've always cared for you."
Wow.
And next thing you know, she just begins weeping. We're passing these tissues around. And she comes up to me afterwards and she says, "Ed, I'm an atheist." But what happened next is she asked me a question, which fundamentally is the evangelist question. She said, "What do I do now?" Mm. She said, "What do I do now?" And I just said, "Let God father you. Just let God father you." And for the next few years, she literally would just spend hours a day hearing from the Father. This is a person whose life was transformed. And 3 months after that event, she's on my stage standing in front of hundreds of people telling a story she hadn't told anyone for 40 years because God healed her heart.
Isn't that great?
Wow. Amazing.
You see, you have that happen over and over now. We're going to talk about how important prayer is now and hearing God. You know, you can pray and ask God to do things. You can pray and share your heart. We need to do that. We got a lot to pray about. We got a lot of challenges. I think we're in grave danger right now all over the world that we're going to have to pray and see His power make supernatural adjustments and correction. We're going to have to make correction. And we're going to have to speak truth to people who have not heard truth. They've discarded it. They've actually changed the truth into a lie.
Yeah.
And according to Romans 1, when you do that, you're incapable of thinking straight. God called it a reprobate, depraved mind. And you can see people are living all over America and all over the world where it looks like they have a totally depraved mind. They can't seem to think straight. And the fact is they can't. And you've got to adjust by acknowledging that what God says is true. And we're going to have to pray that in. So can we talk about how urgent prayer is, how important prayer is? Do you think that is something people must hear and must heed?
Yeah, so 100%. So Psalm 24, I think, is the chapter for us as believers to focus on. Psalm 24 says, lift up your eyes, everlasting doors. By the way, that's you, God's people, the way that God moves in through the earth. And right now, God's people need to look up. We spend a lot of time getting our news. We spend a lot of time looking down at our phones. If we just understood, we sit at God's right hand, it says, and according to Ephesians, we sit with Him in an unbelievable place of authority. We simply look up. And like I said, the book just shows you how to have that simple conversation with the King of Kings, who happens to, you know, made a galaxy, a universe that's 13 billion light years old. And at the same time, He's happy to have a conversation with you.
I'm going to be happy to send you this book. If you would help us give some shoes to children that don't have shoes, that are the least of these that are really poor. If you would just make a gift to help us, you ask us, and we'll say thank you by sending you this book. Because, Ed, we've got to learn to pray, and we have got to learn to hear God.
Yeah.
He really does. Betty, can you hear God?
I can.
Can anybody hear God?
Anybody can. If I can, anybody can.
Do you enjoy hearing His voice?
I do. I love it.
Does He like to hear yours?
Yes, He does.
So y'all have conversation?
We do.
Okay. I tell you what, I know they do. Would you watch this, please, and say, "God, I want to put Your arms around somebody. Give them some shoes. Give them some smiles. Give them a new life." Watch.
As the world celebrates the birth of Jesus this Christmas, Life Outreach International is also celebrating nearly 2 decades of spreading this good news in a very special way. With shoes. Yes, shoes. We, along with our mission partners located throughout the world, have provided 2.5 million children with a gift of shoes. Children who, in many instances, have never had a new pair of shoes.
We all celebrate different holidays around the world, but a holiday that's pretty common to most of us is Christmas. And that's what it feels like here today. It feels like Christmas for us because we're getting to do one of the most incredible things, and that is to bless these children with a pair of shoes.
It's because of friends like you that we have been able to reach into remote areas every year, providing the gift of shoes and sharing the good news of Jesus. This year, we want to once again see children's faces light up with smiles as they receive a new pair of shoes. Unfortunately, there are children who can't smile because they suffer from a condition known as cleft lip or cleft palate. The good news is our annual Christmas Smiles Outreach allows us the opportunity to minister to some of the world's poorest children who have no hope of correcting their condition with surgery.
But thanks to James and Betty and the Friends of Life Outreach International, we're able to make lasting changes in children's lives through corrective surgery.
Life Outreach has partners who work with some of the world's most skilled surgeons who have performed thousands of corrective surgeries for children. These surgeries not only protect them from health-threatening issues, but provides the gift that lasts a lifetime, the gift of a smile. So this Christmas season, as you gather with loved ones and friends to celebrate the birth of Jesus, demonstrate His love for others by providing shoes and smiles to children in need.
Well, I remember I'd taken businessmen to a retreat, and one of them came up to me and he held up a little shoe like this. He said his life had been changed to go into the various ministry events that we had. And he said, James, I can get little shoes like this at almost nothing. Just like this, and they'll last so long. Could we give shoes to little children who never had any shoes? I thought, man, I don't know, I never thought about it. Well, boy, have we ever given it to millions and millions of children. And now we're doing that. So you talk about giving shoes and giving smiles and giving life. We can do it, Father. Would you please give people joy at the thought that I can do that? I can do that. I can give shoes and smiles. I can give children life. I can give them a future, and we can share you in Jesus' name. Would you please, would you go get your checkbook, go get your credit card, use it like a check, and would you go online or would you call that number and make the best gift you can? Would you do that right now, please? It's easy to put it off. This is the last week. Don't put it off. If we're going to get it done, if we're going to meet the goal, it needs to be now. Please, go get that bank card. If you write a check, call us and tell us what you're mailing. Put it in the mail. Thank you so much for doing it. And we will send you God Talks because He wants to talk to you. Please do it. Thank you so much.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer not only from lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a protective pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a pair of shoes, and while that may seem minor, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of painful infections, injury, and life-threatening diseases. But this Christmas, you can bring hope and healing. Your gift today will help provide new shoes for 150,000 children in time for the holidays, and for some children, a beautiful new smile. Your gift of $36 will help provide shoes for 10 children. $72 will help provide for 20. $180 will help provide shoes for 50. And a gift of $500 will help provide a cleft surgery, restoring a child's smile forever. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request the beautifully crafted yellow crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake set featuring four of life's colorful crystal shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective smile surgeries, and you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture Lion of Judah. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
So we are here in South Sudan giving shoes away today. It's a Christmas shoes and smiles kind of day. And we love to put shoes on beautiful feet. But as you can see, many of these feet have much injury to them. They've never had a good pair of shoes. And today, while we're here giving out shoes, we also want to remind you that around the world, there are children who are receiving a brand new smile after being born with cleft lip or cleft palate. And you can be a part of putting a smile on a child's face. Would you go to the phone right now or go online and make your best gift to help us put smiles on faces of children all over the world? Children born with severe malformities in their mouth need your help, need our help to change it for the rest of their life. As you know, it's all about showing them the love of Jesus at Christmas with Christmas Shoes and Smiles. Thank you for being a part.
Betty, we're going to give little shoes like this. We gave them to lots of kids ourselves. You know, it's a little bit hard for us to travel to those. I don't know how many of you know, but she hurt her back to the point that she could have been paralyzed. And God has miraculously healed her. But it's hard for us to go into those areas like we did for so 25 years or more. And boy, we marched into hell to give shoes and smiles. By the way, God really wants to talk to you. You've never needed to hear Him more clearly than right now.
That's right.
He wants to hear your heart. Will you let Him share His and His wisdom and His direction? He will share it, won't He?
He will.
I love you.
Willing and able.
You don't know how pretty you are. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And we're going to talk more. We're going to spend a lot of time together being friends and talking to God and seeing God work miracles. So we're glad to send this to folks.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for watching. Thanks for sharing life, His love.
For over 60 years, Life Outreach International has shared the transforming truth of God's love in both word and deed. We are forever grateful to everyone who has joined us in our mission of providing water to the thirsty, food to the hungry, shelter to the orphan, and meeting the various needs of those who are struggling. Our ministry to the lost and hurting is only made possible because of the prayers and generous gifts of our friends and partners who provide consistent, faithful support. Become a Friend for Life partner with your recurring financial gifts, and we'll send you our monthly newsletter, along with encouraging spiritual resources to uplift and inspire you in your daily Christian walk. Best of all, you'll be blessed to know that your ongoing gift is helping make possible the outreaches of life. Call now or go online to become a Friend for Life. Your monthly support will help us continue to bring God's love, hope, and healing to a world in need. One life at a time. Please. Call now.
Have you ever wondered how some obscure Old Testament laws can be relevant today? Rabbi Kurt Snyder decodes the Torah next week on Life Today.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.